The fourth annual Slow Living Summit took place this year in Brattleboro, Vermont, June 4th through 6th. Among the keynote speakers was Martin Ping, executive director of the Hawthorne Valley Association in Ghent, New York. In his talk titled Soil, Soul, and Society, A Love Story in Three Movements, he described how the residents of Hawthorne Valley, which includes a Waldorf school and a retail store, in addition to a diverse farming operation, cultivate meaningful relationships in family, work, and community, focused on learning from nature and finding a sense of place. Since 1972, Hawthorne Valley, a 400-acre working farm, has remained committed to social and cultural renewal through the integration of education, agriculture, and the arts. According to the group, the initiative was a response to experiencing firsthand the immediate challenges of the loss of small family farms and the threat to childhood development posed by an increasingly materialistic, mechanistic, and technology-based prevailing worldview. Ping says Hawthorne Valley, located in Columbia County in New York's Hudson Valley, has seen 65 new farmers come to work the land in recent years. In an interview with Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus, he explains the importance of new farmers coming back to cultivate the land and describes some of the other work he's been engaged with for more than 20 years.
The emergence of all of these new farms and the interest in agriculture at this time amongst young people who are university trained, they have all sorts of options before them in life, and they're choosing to reconnect to the land and finding a vocation, a calling towards agriculture. And this is a good thing because we have very few farmers, and the average age of the farmer in this country is something like 55. And I, being a self-avowed eater, I'm generally concerned about that somebody's going to really grow my food, and especially people who do so in a way that's sensitive to the rest of the biotic community on the earth. The challenge is, of course, that we've chosen this industrial agricultural model, this kind of agribusiness model, and it has had its place, and I'm quite sure all of it started out with good intention, and we've realized that there have been problems that have arisen in unintended consequences environmentally, I would say economically, and socially. So these young people are addressing that, but it's not in and of itself yet going to feed the world. It's not like we can just overnight switch systems from this rather major industrial monocropping that we're doing. We need all these small farms, and we need to also find a way to aggregate them into some sort of scale that can meet the needs of the population of the planet. So the idea that these farmers would recognize that for a farmer to have to do everything from planting to marketing to driving product to market to doing their accounting to everything, you know, that there might be a different way that we can constellate and cooperate and move beyond competition and conflict to conscious collaboration and care. That's the picture that we carry, that's or the pattern we're hoping to create. And I think it goes to the nature of our social being to want to work in a kind of collaborative way.
You mentioned something about working with prisoners, and I wasn't sure if you meant, you know, ex-prisoners or people who are actually incarcerated. Could you clarify that and just say what that work is?
Well, right now we've been going into one correctional facility and working with some of the men there who are interested in gardening and have a garden. As you can imagine, the food is not what I would choose to eat. And so they're trying to address that, and I think also forming that more meaningful connection to the earth, which, as I said earlier, opens up so many other pathways. So going forward, we hope to expand on the offering and have programs for people as they come out of the prison system for vocational training in agriculture and in food, artisan, entrepreneurial businesses that obviously we already do, and we hope to partner with other businesses that would become, you know, make themselves available to people who need some training.
One way, in the early 70s, when a lot of people, especially in Vermont, who came to Vermont to go back to the land, and there were a lot of political activists who were saying they were kind of selling out, and, you know, you needed to be in the struggle, and, you know, the war was still raging, and so on. It seems like you could take that same approach now and say, I mean, when you were describing life on the farm there, it just sounded so idyllic and amazing. And within this whole project, there seem to be so many pieces to it and so many ways that you do not turn your back on social problems, like you just mentioned, you know, the work you do in the prison and so on. Can you sort of summarize how you see the work that you do fitting into the wider world?
If it doesn't fit in the wider world, then there's no relevance for us to be doing it. So it better be relevant because people are working really hard every day. And I think that we work with certain ideas, like one called the fundamental social law. And that is that if the fruits of our labor can be for the betterment of our community and meeting our community's needs, broadly defined community, I'm not talking about intentional community or everybody having to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm talking about society as a whole. If we're able to meet the needs of our neighbors and society as a whole, our needs will be met. That's what we that's the principle we operate under. And I would have to say that I believe I can say it works because I'm able to live my life that way.
That was Martin Ping, executive director of New York's Hawthorne Valley Association, in an interview conducted at the 4th Annual Slow Living Summit in Brattleboro, Vermont. For more information on the association and the Slow Living Summit, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.